Hey, Rob here, setting you up with a special feed drop from our patron podcast feed. Every Friday during the Big Brother season, I get together with our chief Big Brother correspondent, Taryn Armstrong, and we answer calls from the patrons live on Friday afternoons. This week's edition of the BB Q&A took place around 3 o'clock Eastern time on Friday. The nominations were not set yet, but we are still ahead of where we are on the TV show if you are waiting for the TV show to see what the nominations are. So we are going to be speculating a bit about the nominations and much more about the house and the state of Big Brother 24 as it was on Friday afternoon. If you like what you hear in this free preview, check out becoming a patron of Rob It's a Podcast. We have so much going on during the Big Brother season. In addition to the weekly Big Brother Q&A with Taryn Armstrong and myself, I will be hosting The Slop on Monday nights, where we will take a deep dive into all of the nonsense going on in the Big Brother house. I'll be with Jenny Autumn for the first episode of The Slop coming up on Monday nights. Plus, we'll be doing alumni interviews live for the patrons before they hit your podcast feed this season as well. Plus, everything else we offer all year long as a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. You can check that all out at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Now, enjoy this special presentation of the first Big Brother Q&A of the season. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Sesternino back here with Taryn Armstrong for the first BB Q&A patron call-in show of the season, where we will talk about what's going on here on the Big Brother 24 here with you and take your calls and hear what Taryn has to say. So let's bring in the man who is the homie to us all here during Big Brother. It's Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm everyone's homie.
You're everyone's homie.
Right.
Is it the homie or she's my homie?
I think it's both.
It's both. Okay.
I think like being a homie mm-hmm. is a good thing, but being the homie is the best thing.
Homie. Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. So, Taryn, we just caught you with Puya this morning here for the live feed update. How are things? First with you.
First with me. Season started. Mm-hmm. We've been in the tunnel of the season so yeah. far, but things are good.
Okay. All right. It is Friday. It is nomination day. How close are we to getting some locked in noms here for week one?
The conversation is happening as we speak. Mm-hmm. Daniel saw the nominations are today screen, and he had a conversation with some of the bros earlier where locked in the fact that he did not want to put them up. He's now talking to Nicole, his main homie, discussing the options that he feels he has to nominate. The four names that he dropped were Michael, Terrence, Taylor, and Indy. I think that Nicole is trying to push him away from Taylor, but I'm not entirely sure about that.
Okay. So Joe is out of the danger zone since last night?
Joseph. Yeah, yes. Yes, he is, as one of the big guys, he is getting a pass for now.
Okay. Do we have the idea to get a big guy out of the house that's off the table right now?
Right now, that is off the table. Daniel doesn't want to go in that direction. There's too much uncertainty. He's worried that the big guys will then come back at him if it doesn't work out, or even if it does work out. And he's kind of gone a little too far to go back on it at this point. He spent all day talking to Kyle and Joe and Pooch and Monty about like, hey, I'm 6'3", just like you guys. I'm going to be lumped in with you. I don't want to make a move like that. I don't want to set the tone like that. And they were like, yeah, remember Frenchie? How Frenchie wanted a big muscly guy out and then he was out next? That's what happens when you want a big muscly guy out. And so it seems as though this is kind of the plan, is he's going to just kind of go for the easier targets.
Yeah, of course, famously, that's what happened. Frenchie went after Travis, and then everyone in week two is justice for Travis.
Yeah, everyone was so mad about Travis, mm-hmm. and all the big guys were like, we gotta strike back, or he'll come for us.
In fairness, Derek X never got over Travis.
Still to this day.
To this day. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that's what he said on the challenge, right? I'm here to get revenge for Travis.
Yes, this is for Travis. So we're going to start to take your calls. You can use the link that you got it on Patreon. We will send that out on Fridays for the patrons. Also in the YouTube and Facebook descriptions as well. You should have the link to be able to call in on the StreamYard. We'll bring people up one at a time. We can also take your questions here in the chat, just like this. We can bring a question up on the screen. Jaden says, hey, homies. Yeah. So it's just as easy as that. It's not like during the live feed update or the recap where the chat's flying by so quick. We'll see these questions. We're able to hit them up as well. Okay. So just like this. What up, Tara? Okay. There you go. All right. Let's say hi to Panther Chris. Panther Chris says he's on his lunch break and we need to get to him quick before he has to go back to work. Okay. Here is our friend Panther Chris. Panther Chris, where's your Baker Mayfield jersey?
It's still in the mail. The contract's got to be signed, right?
Okay.
Aaron, you feel good about Baker Mayfield? Or are you familiar with Baker Mayfield?
I'm not feeling great about Baker Mayfield.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're going to stink either way.
Probably. I think it'll be good, but that's not what we're here to talk about, Chris.
No.
We're here to talk about all of the shenanigans going on here on day three in the Big Brother house.
It's early days, but Taryn, I just wanted to see what grade you would give Daniel so far and what would be the best way to take advantage of a week one HOH if someone were to play and get in the house. What would the recommended steps be to success?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of a grade, I don't think he's failing. I think he's got a passing grade right now, but he's not excelling by any means. It's day three. It's very early. He is making some connections. He is making some bonds, but he's not locking things in the way that he should be, using his power to best effect. Honestly, by day three, he should have some kind of group together that includes his main ally, Nicole, if that's how he wants to operate. And they should be discussing what his plan is. I'm going to nominate these people. That's the plan. Make them feel good, make them feel like they're in on the plan. They know what's happening. What's happening right now is that, like, he's talked to a few people, especially like these bros. Like, he talked to Monty earlier and he was like, yeah, Monty, like, I don't want to put you up. I don't want to put the big bros up. And that makes them feel good that he won't put them up and that, like, hey, we should have this kind of understanding that we won't put each other up, but doesn't mean that they're working with him. And so what you get is that Monty goes downstairs and he talks to Amira, who he's in a locked in alliance with now. And he tells her about the whole conversation because he's loyal to her and the alliance more so than Daniel. And that's a missed opportunity. As HOH, there shouldn't be that many alliances that don't include you. Because when you have the power to nominate, when you have this, this position in the house, everybody should be coming to you for alliances, for a relationship, because you're the person who has power over them in this week. And he keeps waiting for people to come to him. He needs to get out there and just start talking to people if that's what he wants to do. So I would say definitely missing opportunities. He's learning the game just like everybody else. I think that he still has time for sure. He still has almost an entire week until Thursday, next Thursday. So he's got a lot of time left to really start to lock things in. But for now, it's not going great. And in general, I think what you should be doing is definitely hit the ground running more, make these relationships, get people into a group. I think Frenchie showed us just how aggressive and messy you're allowed to be before the breaking point. Because, like, he almost got away with it. And a different person wins HOH, Frenchie's not out the second week. And if not for probably like French kisses, he probably doesn't even get caught in the way that he does, right? Like he was so messy, so aggressive, and it could have worked out decently well
like
for him.
Like a French kiss, right?
Exactly. So any like any pretty like normal, rational person can probably push as hard as they can, and it still won't be enough to like overplay as a first HOH.
Okay. Taren, that's good to know.
Do we have an official target that Daniel is looking at this point? I know the noms are still in flux. Is there somebody that there, like, does he have a name in mind that he really would love to see go on the first HOH, or does he want to basically just escape without any sort of people being mad at him and let the house decide completely what happens?
Honestly, I don't think he has like a locked in target. He's certainly not saying he does. Given the way that he has talked about the potential targets, it does feel as though Michael has become the person he would want to see leave the most. But I do not think he would push for it. And considering the fact that Michael is now almost involved in a group of an alliance that might try to keep him safe, he probably won't end up pushing for it, even if Michael does go on the block. But there are other options, so who knows?
Do you think that if Michael is likely to get nominated, do you think that the six that he's potentially involved in, do you think that they'll press the eject button on him and then just go back to Pooch? Or do you think they'll try and save him?
I think they'll try and save him, unless he does something that makes them want to bail. The discussion that was had when Paloma was filling Amira and Alyssa in on the fact that, hey, by the way, last night at like 5 a.m., I switched out Pooch for Michael. I hope that's okay. And they were like, yeah, it actually is. They were like, oh, well, Michael still might go up on the block. And they were like, yeah, that's fine. We'll just save him. That's in fact, they said that might be a good thing. Might link him to us even more because he will need to rely on us to stay in the game.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, that's it. You guys have a good weekend.
All right. Thanks a lot, Chris. Talk to you soon. So Panther Chris, I thought you had to go. You were at lunch. It was a different Chris. Are you also on a lunch break?
I don't know.
Or you just said. Were like, Rob, I don't know what you were talking about, but I don't want to embarrass you, Rob.
Yeah. I just went with it.
Went with it. Good. Well, good. That's a good Big Brother play. Okay. So, Chris, we'll talk to you soon. So, it was Chris S. actually who needed to go first, but Chris was having problems with his phone. So, he gave us a message in the chat. And his question was, do you think that Daniel has been too gullible? He seems fixated on who has come to talk to him, but not about what they've said to him. Should he just trust whoever wants to talk to him? And also, Chris said, Taren, I'm hyped for whenever you do Wheel of Time coverage again.
Oh, yes. I'm excited for season two. I know a lot of people were weirded out.
He's on book three and loving it.
There you go. There you go. So has he been too gullible? Yeah, I think so. But it's hard to blame him in that sense because he hasn't talked to people enough to know who he should and shouldn't trust and what kind of information is true or false. So I'd say it's less that he's too gullible and more that he's just not talking to enough people. You're seeing again, like the vast difference between a player like Paloma, who is in, you know, multiple separate alliances now, has connections to a bunch of different sides of the house, and is getting information from all of those sides. So like Paloma is able to talk to Monty about Pooch. What is Pooch up to from Monty's perspective? She's able to talk to, let's say, like Daniel about Pooch. Like, what's Pooch up to from your perspective? So instead of just talking to Pooch herself and Pooch giving her what he wants her to think, she's able to get the perspective of, okay, this is what Pooch is telling me. This is what Pooch is telling Monty. This is what Pooch is telling Daniel. This is what Pooch is telling Alyssa. And because she has all of that information, she has a much more informed perspective about what Pooch is telling her and where Pooch actually stands. Whereas Daniel is almost entirely reliant on the individual conversations he's having with people when they come up to him. So when Amira comes up to him and says, I would love to work with you, he's like, great. When Pooch comes up to him and says, I want to work with you, he's like, great. And pretty much anybody that comes up to him, he's just feeling like, yes, this is great. I'm willing to work with you. The only person that hasn't really worked for is Michael. And that's because I think Daniel already has this kind of preconceived notion, which is sort of reinforced by the social position that Michael is in, that Michael doesn't really have anybody. Mm-hmm. So like when Michael comes up and says, hey, I want to work with you. I don't want to be gone first. I'm willing to not put you on the block. Daniel's like, that's great. But like, who else do you have? He sees Pooch talking to all kinds of people. He sees Monty talking to all kinds of people. He feels like they have clout. They have power. Michael, he's sitting alone a lot of the time. He's not really talking to people. So that's the only outside information apart from the individual conversations that that Daniel has to go off of. And so because of that, he's going off of this like very small amount of information. It's not enough. And that's why it seems like he's so gullible, because he's just like, well, people seem to like Pooch. Pooch came to me. He seems to like me. I guess I like Pooch.
Okay, let's take a question. Ben was our first person on hold all season long. So let's go to Ben. Ben, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, guys?
Ben, what is this artwork behind you?
Yeah, I have this whiteboard behind me whenever I'm in calls. Like, I figured, hey, I should do a little drawing for the call.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is really incredible. And boy, this should be in Turner's store, I think.
Yeah, make an RHAP mug. Mm-hmm. Or that mug. Rug.
Yeah. That's great.
It's kind of working a bunch of pieces. You might need to like make it into one full rug. But
yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. And then can you do like a green screen also in this room?
I probably could. I've never tried before.
Yeah,
but
it's like a whole studio. Okay, Ben, what did you want to talk about here in Big Brother 24?
All right. So I've kind of like been behind on everything. I just watched the first episode this morning, and I was like, I got to listen to all the live feed updates so I can figure out what I want to ask. So I'm like halfway through the second one.
Okay.
So when I'm about to get on here, I'm scrolling through Twitter, and I'd heard about this new six-person alliance, three guys, three girls. And I'm like, great, there's an alliance. And then I'm scrolling through Twitter, and it's like, oh, by the way, now Michael's in this alliance. And I'm like, wait, how did this happen? So my question is basically, can you, like, explain to me how that happened? And, like, now that he knows this information about the majority alliance, what can Michael, like, do to benefit his position? Because it's not the greatest right now.
Yeah, so basically, Michael had a couple of good conversations in the day. One was with Brittany, who went to the Women's Alliance and said, hey, I like Michael. I think he's cool. Had a good conversation with him. He also had a good conversation with Alyssa, who also was able to be like, yeah, that's great. Paloma at some point had talked to him through the day and felt like, they just felt like, you know, again, they also see that nobody's really talking to Michael, and they have the perspective of, okay, we know who's talking to who for the most part. And so they feel like when they talked to Michael, he was lighting up, he was engaged, he was like grateful for having somebody to come talk to him. On the other hand, they were Paloma in particular was seeing Pooch talking with Turner a lot. Like Turner was following Pooch around, and it was like, why is Pooch with Turner all of a sudden when he's supposed to be in an alliance with Monty and Kyle and us? And now we're seeing him and Turner and Daniel. What's going on there? She brought it up with Monty and Kyle, and they had also gotten a similar vibe from Pooch, just kind of like, not entirely sure about this guy. And so she decided at that point, like, let's just swap him out then. Like, this guy is potentially too dangerous. They also considered Joseph, but ultimately went with Michael as somebody that she, Paloma sold it as like, like nobody would suspect. Like, we're really diversifying the group here, because you've got, you know, obviously you two are like big muscly bros, but like Michael is less a muscly bro. And so people wouldn't suspect that we're all working together, that he's in this as well, and we can cover more bases. And that argument landed with Kyle and Monty. And so just like that, he got included.
Can you give us the six just one more time? So Kyle, Monty, Michael, Paloma.
Kyle, Michael, Monty, Paloma, Alyssa, Amira.
Okay.
Is the current six.
And what is there a name for this alliance?
It's been named Mamba by Monty.
Why? Is that an acronym?
I think it's a Kobe Bryant thing.
But the Monty, Amira, Michael, does it work? Alyssa?
Almost.
Paloma? Is it Mampa?
Mamba.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe the P is silent. Okay.
So yeah, so that's the six person thing. Michael was approached about it by Paloma. He, when she left, was like, "Nah, I'm not into that." Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes. But this is the alliance that would save him this week if he ends up on the block. He definitely needs it. His only other prospects right now are with Brittany and Turner, but Turner has already kind of like, "Nah, I'm not into that." To him. Mm-hmm. So we'll see where it goes with Michael. The women really, really like him. Paloma and Alyssa in particular. They really feel like basically their plan right now is that the way that Paloma has set this up is they've got the Girls Alliance, which is a six-person thing with Paloma, Alyssa, Amira, the core three, then Indy, Brittany, and Jasmine. That's a six-person alliance they have that they made on night one. And then they have the six-person alliance, the other six-person alliance, Mamba, it's now called, which is, again, Monty, Kyle, Michael, as long as he actually joins, Paloma, Alyssa, and Amira. Again, with those three, Paloma, Alyssa, Amira.
Hold on, Taryn, is there a possibility Michael will not join?
I mean, I think that he needs, the thing is, he needs to like talk to them,
yes,
and like be willing to work with the alliance.
You think he might decline the invitation?
I don't think he'll actively decline, but I think that because he's not super into the idea, he might not pursue the conversations necessary to lock him in, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Especially if he ends up on the block and they're just like, is he even really with us? Like he never talks to us. He talks to Brittany more because he has a better, I think in his mind, he's approached by this alliance and he's like, work with all the cool, pretty people. Like, I've already got my thing with Turner and Brittany that I like even more. I think he doesn't realize that it's actually a better spot for him right now.
Right.
But we'll see. Either way, the way that it's set up is Paloma, Alyssa, and Amira as the core three between these two six-person alliances. And so that's sort of like where things stand. And they would have, even though like a bunch of people in that group can't vote, they would still have the numbers to keep Michael safe. Because there's only gonna be 9 votes, for eviction. And so they would have 5 in that group to save Michael if they needed to, as long as 2 of them weren't on the block. Mm-hmm.
And do we know who Michael potentially at this hour is going to be sitting next to on the block?
Well, it's not a guarantee that it's Michael that ends up on the block. There are 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
There are 4 options, and Michael is one of them. So the other options again would be Taylor, Indy, or Terrence. If it's Indy next to Michael, that's worst case scenario because that's one of the votes that they would likely need and also a part of the women's. It's 2 people from either one of those alliances. So that would be a tricky situation. Like I said, I think that Nicole was trying to push away from Taylor, so it's possible that Taylor doesn't end up there. His sort of default was kind of Michael and Terrence. Thinking probably that Michael would be the target at that point. But I would expect right now it would probably land more on Terrence. There's just too much left up in the air though to make any kind of concrete calls.
Okay.
Okay.
You got all that, Ben? Really,
thank you.
All right, Ben, good to talk to you. Okay. And great job on the dry erase board. Don't erase it. Okay.
All right. I will never erase it. It'll be like that
okay.
forever.
Thank you. Okay.
Yes. Thank
All
you,
right.
guys.
Bye. Okay. Let's go ahead and let's say hello to our friend Addison is here. Okay. Addison. Yes. How are
hello.
you?
Hello. I'm good. How are you?
Very good, Addison. What's happening?
Nothing much. Big Brother started. Can't beat that. You know, three mm-hmm. months of life mm-hmm. flies out the window in a heartbeat.
Yes, yes. Addison, what are you up to?
What I wanted to talk about is, so we saw Michael, who from all the preseason stuff seemed like a completely affable, personable person, get into the house and just like socially immediately completely shut down, like not talking to anyone. That's why he's probably going on the block, like really took a very long time to start making any like connections. And that has had me wondering, like, do we need to look at equity in like amount of LGBT people who are getting on the cast? Because as you know, as a gay man myself, I know that if I was put into a house with, you know, majority straight people, I'm going to be very closed off because I wouldn't have anyone that I would connect with on that innate level. And we saw this with the diversity initiative of making things more equitable by giving people that they can connect on like a background level, like shared experiences level. Like, do we need to look into expanding that out from just, you know, race into, you know,
sure,
more backgrounds?
So this is an interesting question, because I feel like that, you know, we think of like, okay, CBS is like, you know, it's one company and they're like, all of their shows are following the same rules. But it does seem like that the different franchises have kind of like different interpretation of what the diversity initiative that was put into practice was, where it feels like that Big Brother, and of course we had the cookout last season, and so like sort of like at first glance it's like, okay, well, they really you know, did a great job with that. But, you know, there was a lot of talk this season about that really, okay, you had a lot you know, a fair amount of black contestants in the house, but like there were other races that, you know, are not being represented, and you know, you had where, you know, Joseph came in late, and a lot of people were saying, okay, you know, we're not having any Asian representation on Big Brother, or, you know, there's no Hispanic representation on Big Brother. And I think that, you know, where Survivor, I think, has really done probably the you know, compared to Big Brother, a much better job at this. For Big Brother, I think that it doesn't seem like that they, you know, are at the same level that the other shows are at.
Yeah, and it's not something where I think it needs to be like specific quotas every season of like meeting mm-hmm. this, this, and this. But at
but
the
you
same
could
time,
have two.
Exactly. At the same time, like, I know that, you know, if I walked into that house and Mike, I think Michael and I probably would be a very similar casting archetype. Mm-hmm. And if I walked into that house too, with especially with the energy that's going on in this specific house.
Yeah, and that Nicole also, I believe she said she's she's a lesbian also. But, you know, you have two people out of 16.
Yeah. And it feels like, I mean, we rarely have more than one gay man on a Big Brother cast. Like, mm-hmm. I can't think of, like, outside of, like, Big Brother 9 or 8, I can't think of other times that there's been multiple off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a coincidence that you know, the people, the easy nominations being listed by Daniel are you know, the Michael, Terrence, who is, you know, one of the older contestants on the show right now, Indy, who is Brazilian, you know, has a different sort of cultural background. It's just like, it's in it. I think a lot of it comes down to just like your life experience, as well as just, you know, the more present sort of physical attributes, for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think they also compound. So it's like, you know, if Michael was jacked like the other 6'3" bros, he'd probably have a little bit more wiggle room, but the fact that he is, you know, he's gay and he's got noodle arms, as he says, you know, that doesn't help the case either. And so what you do eventually see is, yeah, like these things, they compound, and then they lead to these social situations where, you know, not only does Michael feel like he doesn't have a lot of people that he can probably relate to on that level in the house, but also people in the house don't feel like there's a lot of reason or value to really like try and bridge that gap with Michael, because what's his value in the game if he's got noodle arms? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So it definitely, it's a huge thing. And I think that obviously the work has been put into trying to make it more equitable for the black players in the house who, you know, we saw what happened last season, where they, you know, made the statement that they did. And we are seeing like more black contestants on the show. But it, yeah, certainly doesn't mean that it's just magically solved for every, you know, group of people that, that ends up on the show, because you definitely continue to see those issues, pop up just in different ways.
Yeah. I feel like that this was really articulated well in Big Brother 22. I think it was Kaser who was talking about this, especially on the heels of Big Brother 21, where, you know, a lot of times Big Brother turns into it's the popular people basically ganging up on the nerds, the people of color, and, you know, people from the LGBTQ community. And that's a lot of times what Big Brother can devolve to. I think it's always been that way, but I think that a lot of times, I think that part of the appeal for me is that, you know, at its best, there's a point where that flips on its head. And the people who were sort of ostracized end up being the people that end up being in power. And that's really fun to watch. But I do feel like that in modern Big Brother, with the Lavasser playbook, sort of that was sort of like created in Big Brother 16, it made it much harder for that upheaval to happen in Big Brother, where in earlier seasons, you could see that more likely, where the people that are on the outs just sort of just get picked apart until they're all gone. And then it's just left to the big group of popular people. And I definitely think there is a concern that, you know, Big Brother 24 could be that. And it's pretty much the least fun version of Big Brother that there is.
Yeah. And it's interesting, too, is like when it comes to Big Brother casting, it's like, I mean, they do cast, you know, a gay man every season. But you look at the history of those and it tracks of like really one same archetype is like, you know, the Andy, Michael, like it follows where, you know, there isn't the like, not that I'm saying that like Big Brother should all be jocks and everything, but mm-hmm. like we haven't really had the like gay jock that's been on the season who could, you know, bond in with the jock. Like it's always the exact same sort of archetype too. And so, well, in some ways, you know, the casting has gotten better with the diversity initiative. It's like, it still feels like they're kind of rigid in some of their, like, these are the casting archetypes. Like the gay man is one set person. And that is always, you know, not interchangeable, but, you know, season to season, you're not seeing a wide variety in mm-hmm. who that person is.
I mean, you did have Derek F. last season. So, like, it's not always the same, but it does seem to look like they, you know, try to, oh, we can, like, cross off the gay person and the nerd in one person in our casting checklist.
Yeah, and I think, like, the biggest issue is that like on the other side of casting, it's that there's a lot of spots reserved for similar art. Like there's literally two personal trainers in the house right now. Like there's a lot of spots reserved for big muscly bros, you know, like attractive, single, young, you know, men or women in their 20s. Like that is the most prevalent casting choice that they have. And it's because of that, that those end up being the cool kids, right? Most of the time. And so anybody that falls out of that specific realm will be relegated to you're on the outs, you're on the bottom, you're not fitting in. And most of the time that will be the nerds, you know, minorities that aren't like super fit and single and ready to mingle most of the time, right? Like, and even sometimes those that are. But I think that like the best fix for it is not like, let's make sure we have the proper quota for everybody so that everybody has an amount of people that will work for them. I think it's just like, just cut from that pool, the young city, pretty yeah. single people pool, have one or two of them. And then like just a large group of like unique individuals, you know, and then there wouldn't be such a, like an obvious big group up, to start. And I think that would help a lot as well.
And I think it goes in with the, like, what I sort of call like the Love Islandification of Big Brother, of like CBS's refusal to let Big Brother take itself seriously. Like opening night, we have to see five people in porta potties getting like blue gunge. And it's like, what? This is like a really good social strategic game. Why does it have to be like so stupid with just a bunch of hot people in a house all summer?
In fairness, and Chappelle brought this the other night. It has been this way for 20 years. Going back to like, okay, you want to open the hot tub? Okay, everybody, get in the pool of Jell-O and then fill up your bathing suits with Jell-O.
Bathing suits,
swap bathing suits. Make whipped cream bikinis. You know, that ultimately, like, I think we forget. But this has always been a part of the DNA of Big Brother. But does it have to be? Is the better question.
Yeah.
I think people would still watch it. I don't know. You know, and I think that part of it is, you know, you have the same, a lot of the same creative people who've been with the show for so long. Like, I don't think that necessarily, maybe in the year 2002, 2003, people were flipping through the channels like, oh, hey, hot people on TV. What's this? I don't think that's how people watch TV in 2022.
Well, or at the very least, there are much better shows for that.
Easier ways to find hot people digitally than to watch a season of Big Brother.
We'll have them on a boat soon enough.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Addison. Anything else?
Nothing for now.
Okay. All right, Addison. Talk to you soon. Okay.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Okay. Let's go ahead and let's say hi to Shondell is here. Okay. Hi, Shondell.
Hello.
How are you?
How are you?
Very good. What's going on?
I'm good. It's an honor to be here. I never thought I'd be talking to Taryn and Rob at the same time. So this is really cool.
Dreams do come true, Shondell.
Yeah, right? Let me nerd out for a sec. Okay. So I've got some things from night one that are bugging me, and this is going to be very, very off topic for Madison's very serious conversation. Was it really a live move-in? This is driving me nuts because they had the diary room segments. So did they do like a slightly pre-recorded move-in?
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if it was live to tape, but I believe that the diary room segments were done before they entered the house. They were recorded beforehand.
I felt like they were talking about their porta potties in them.
Did they? I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. So. I mean, if anything, like, they should have done a better job. Like, they could have moved in the morning and had some time to fix this up. I mean, it was very, very like a lot of like dead air and people like walking around. Would not have mind if they, you know, cleaned it up a little bit, but whatever, it's over.
Okay. And then the next thing that's been bugging me, I have to believe that those tickets were pre-planned, because the second they said backstage boss, I was like, it's totally going to be Pooch. They're going to give it to Pooch. Like, who better to be a backstage boss than Pooch? And lo and behold, it became Pooch. Not to mention, there was one moment where somebody's ticket, they entered it and Julie's like, oh, porta potties. And then it showed up on the screen.
Oh, okay.
Like, so I think I'm calling shenanigans.
Well, okay. I'm interested to know Taryn's opinion. That I will also put out a theory, Shondell, that the ticket scanner in the backyard might not have been a legit
real
barcode reader. Not a legitimate
scanner, no.
And Julie's prompter might be updated beforehand. But Taryn, what do you think? You think the fix was in for any reason with the matchups they got?
No, primarily because what's the point?
right.
But also because as I was watching, I noticed that the tickets are actually numbered.
Yeah.
And I think that's how they that's how they knew where to put the, not the actual scanner.
They had a list. Yeah.
And you saw them go in, they just picked, they picked tickets from any room they wanted to. It was definitely a coincidence, but the first four, their numbers were 7, 8, 9, 10. And then the other person to get the porta potty, I think it was Nicole, later on, she had 6.
Yeah.
So it makes a lot of sense to me that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 was, you know, the merch or whatever. Merch.
Okay.
Six through 10 was porta potty, and then 11 through 15 was the piercing, or whatever it was. Just the fact that those numbers lined up for me was like, okay, yeah, I mean, obviously, definitely a huge coincidence that it happened that way, but you know,
I also think that if they were going to rig it, I don't think that they necessarily would have wanted the first four people to all be porta potty, porta potty, porta potty, porta potty. Right.
Yeah. Like they could have chosen any group to go in and then given the, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I guess my argument is strictly for Pooch as the backstage boss.
I mean, maybe. We have over the years, really, like we have no idea why Big Brother production is thinking the way they do. Maybe they felt like, oh, Pooch, this guy is such a home run. Give him the backstage boss to make sure he's safe this week. But why?
Right. Okay. Fair. I've mentioned this in a few chats. I'm watching the feeds for the first time this year.
Yes.
And Taryn, I just want to say you are doing amazing work, because as I am literally watching it, not working as I should be, I'm hearing the conversations and I'm like, who the heck are they talking about? The consistent mumbling, the whispering, the cryptic, like you. And then today in the live feed update, I was like, I watched this all. When did this happen? Like, you're doing amazing work and I appreciate you.
Oh, so. Thank you.
He's a national hero, Shondo.
Right. Amazing.
And an international hero 3 months out of the year.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Shondo, nice to chat with you. Okay.
Hey, thanks for taking my ridiculous conversations.
Okay. All right. Bye. Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and let's say hi to Catherine, who's here. Catherine. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Catherine, happy Big Brother season.
Yes, yes, yes. And I'm so happy, Taryn, you're back. I can listen again. And I know in September I'll have withdrawal. So anyway, I'll just have to deal with listening to just a podcast. But anyway, no, it's fun. It's great. So my question is, why would anybody step up to be a have-not on day one? Why? What's the advantage of doing that? Or what's their thinking?
I think for some people it's just an instinct. Like when Daniel comes out with the card and he's reading it and he says, "Oh, and I have to choose four people," and he's like upset about it. There's kind of like a polite social instinct, I think, for somebody to want to relieve him of that stress, especially publicly, especially in a game where like being seen as a nice person might help you. And so I think right away, like, I don't remember who it was that raised their hand first, but like one person just like, I'll take one choice off your hand. And then you see somebody else do it and you think, oh, I wouldn't mind being a have not, like whatever. Then other hands go up and just like that, it's done.
Yeah, I could see the logic of it. First off, you know, you came into the house. It's like sort of like you have like some maybe more excitement about every, like, oh, whatever. Oh, I want to try slop. Like, I think there's that. Like, oh, this is cool. I'll sleep in this room, whatever. I think also like part of it's like, hey, I'll get it out of the way. And then next week when they're like, okay, we need volunteers for have nots. Like, well, okay, I already did it. Like, you know, and so maybe save your strength for later on. I don't think it's the worst time to do it.
Yeah, I was thinking probably as you go in, you're well fed.
Yeah.
Later on, maybe being on slop is not such a optimal.
Yeah, and maybe you're like, hey, I'm going to be in the backyard. I'll drop a couple of pounds. Taryn, right. People tend to gain weight or lose weight on slop.
It's very dependent on the person.
Wow.
And just like how they, because, and they were just talking about this today, but like, some people, when they're stressed, they don't eat. And some people, when they're stressed, they just they just eat a lot.
Yes. And I already was on the feeds, was hearing conversation of who's having problems going to the bathroom. And there's not even people on slop. Like the house, I don't know what it is. Maybe no lock on the door. People, like, it throws off their whole schedule.
Yeah. And that's kind of the thing too. It's like, especially the first week for the volunteers, it's like, they don't know how difficult, like, the concept of being a have not is like, yeah, sure, whatever, I'll try it. It's another thing to, like, see the slop and live it for a week. At that point, usually you're like, I really don't want to do it. But usually at that point, they've, like, determined a schedule for people to volunteer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, because I was thinking, were they thinking if there's an advantage in the game by volunteering? But I guess, yeah, you're sort
They're of Survivor fans, maybe they'd think that.
Yeah. Ian Terry looked for the golden power of Vita or the hidden immunity idol. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Anything else going on, Catherine?
Nothing else. Okay. All right.
How's Flash Gordon doing?
Good days, bad days.
Good days, bad days. Okay. Like us all, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
He's got an autoimmune disease. So,
Oh. You know,
yeah, it's all right. It's okay.
All right, Catherine.
Today's a good day. So. Okay. All right. Take care. Thank you for asking.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Let's say hello to one of our friends we got to know last summer, Taryn. Hornet Jody is here, okay? Hornet Jody, he doesn't have his Baker Mayfield jersey either.
Very good. Hey, serious strategic conversation, Taryn. I'm concerned that if the fluid color would have caused you to quit your job and find new employment out of the porta potty, that concerns me, that you would be that close to leaving a fairly lucrative job.
I mean, it was close. It was a close call.
Wow.
Thank God it was blue. I'm just happy it was blue.
Yeah.
You know, not yellow.
Yellow, I don't know. Yellow would have been on the fence.
Yeah. Wow. These are all very iffy colors. So, Taryn, in the 24 hours we've had, who is the character that you are kind of keeping your eye on the most right now?
I mean, are you saying just like, the person, I thought you were asking who is Taryn eyeing for that he could do an impression of?
No. In the game so far, which is so, you know, it's just started. So who's the character that you're kind of surprised is doing better or worse than you may have thought?
I think the person that surprised me the most is Paloma. Just how hard she's playing. Which I didn't really expect. And I think a lot of people are surprised at the fact that, like, she hasn't, like, blown up yet. It certainly could still be in the cards. But again, that's the thing about playing hard early is that you do have a lot of leeway. It's, you know, playing hard later, like so many people, they come in, you don't play hard early, play hard later. But it's a lot harder to play hard later. Early, it's open. It's wide open. You can do whatever you want. You can make all kinds of mistakes. You've got plenty of room. Later is when things have locked in a little more and it's a little more difficult. But so she's playing hard and she's doing all right so far. I think that again, definitely could blow up in her face.
I love it. I love having her around.
Yeah,
this definitely is very exciting. I love her walking the tightrope. And Tara, in the way you've talked about her, of like, she has no vote, she's trying to put this thing together.
Yeah.
I was like, well, like, didn't Omer do this in the merge in Survivor 42? And it was a master stroke.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if she pulls it off, like, super impressive, right? If she comes into next week still in the game, first of all, with this backstage thing, and with this structure intact, like, definitely very impressive. I'm also, of course, I mentioned this before, less entertaining so far, but very impressed with Monty. I think that just in general, like, he seems to have good instincts. He has a great presence. You know, when he was talking to Daniel earlier, Pooch was in there. Pooch is a little intense sometimes. Monty is super chill. Joseph comes in. Joseph starts talking about, like, this is what I'm thinking. Joseph is a little all over the place, kind of a word salad. And Monty makes sure to be like, just see, like, I'm not saying what Joseph is saying. Just to be clear, essentially, is what he, like, I just want you to know I'm here for you, whatever you want to do, I've got you. Like, Monty knew what kind of message he wanted to portray, and he made sure that he was not being associated with other messages. And just like he has, again, the calm presence of like when he talks to somebody like Paloma, he's able to stay calm. And like, well, Paloma's kind of like, yeah, let's do this. He's like, he's able to completely communicate with her effectively. And then when he talks to Amira, Amira has a different vibe, but he's able to communicate with that effectively as well. So very good communicator, social player. Strategically, he seems to be okay so far. He's not like super left behind. I'm definitely curious to see where he goes from here in terms of like making his own moves, because so far it's mostly been like being brought into things. But he's definitely somebody I'm keeping my eye on as well.
Tara, can I ask you just an overall feed watching strategy? Do you have like players that become, I don't want to say your favorites, but the people that you know, sort of like you're following the, like what where they are during the game, as opposed to, or are you just sort of like watching like the house in general?
It's more the house in general. It's mostly like, especially if you don't, like right now, I don't have the audio on, right? Because I'm in the podcast, but I have the feeds right there. So usually, or if you're just like, you're listening to one and not one side and not the other, you can kind of tell what's not an important conversation and what is. So like right now on the top feed, it's like a group of people and they're like laughing and joking. It's like, okay, that's whatever. And on the bottom screen, you've got Daniel in the HOH room with Jasmine. They're clearly talking game. I'd be listening to that right now. And so if there were more than two feeds at a time, then yeah, I'd probably have to like follow people. But, you know, I only have two choices anyway.
Okay.
And I'm sorry to say this because I'm an old guy. It is just sad to watch Terrence because he's just getting nothing and he's not going to get anything. And it's not his fault. It's just the lay of the land and how it works. And I just wonder, why do we keep beating our head against the wall, doing the same thing over and over again? It's just unfortunately. And I don't dislike Terrence. He's a good guy, I'm sure, but it's hard to watch. Do you agree?
Yeah. I mean, for sure. It's everything that I talk about every season with the quote unquote older player. Is that, you know, they're going to have a hard time, even if they are super charismatic and personable, like Terrence is. Everybody loves Terrence, but he's not seen as a competitive threat. And, in addition to that, he's older. He doesn't have the same life experiences, or if he has, they were, you know, a little while ago. He now has kids and he's married. And you know, he lives a different life than they do at this point in time. And so, when they're thinking about like, who's on my team, they're thinking, I want people like me, like-minded people, who I can relate to, who provide value to me. And unfortunately for Terrence, they don't see it that way, which I think is often a mistake. Unfortunately, how the competitions are structured, it's not entirely a mistake sometimes, but I do think that people often undervalue the idea of a player who is not really going to be picked up by anybody else. Those are very valuable players often.
Great. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you so much, Hornet. Jody.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Taryn, let's say hello to Nathan, who is here. Nathan. Nathan, how Hello. Are you? Hi, Nathan.
I'm doing great. It's so exciting to talk to both of you. I've thought about doing one of these Q&As for a while, and I keep hesitating because I've been watching for 2 years now. I started with the BB22 preview thing, so I was really excited for All Stars, and I was like, I want to get to know these people more, and I've been along for the ride.
Us since. Or the Big Brother house guests?
For you guys.
Oh, Nathan, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So happy to have you here, Nathan.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Where in the world are you, Nathan?
I'm living in D.C. right now. I'll be moving to Atlanta soon.
Cool.
I was like going to move this week, but then BB was on, so I was like, I'll just wait and watch the live feeds.
Yes.
And then I'll move next week.
Yes. Taryn would tell you, never move during Big Brother season.
What, you don't want to wait 6 weeks for your moving equipment to arrive?
Yeah.
I was rewatching the BB23 Frenchie Week recaps. Those are wild. Like, if you've ever like gone back like now and just listen to them knowing what happens, it is just a blast to re-listen to.
Oh, I thought you were saying because Taryn doesn't have his stuff.
Well, there's like so many different
Taryn
stories.
Taryn is podcasting in the dark. Yeah.
Stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But I was going through and I was looking at like, because like I've watched now the week one feeds for BB22, BB23, and now BB24. And this season's reminding me a lot of early BB22. I remember the mm-hmm. whole week, one of the big storylines was no one's talking game, what's going on? And there was, I would say, about 12 people or so who were like talking game, but only when they could get in like groups of two. And the alliance structures were very much built on those like two person relationships. And like, I remember the first structure was only like a group of four. And then eventually we got the slick six and the, what became the core four / committee. Mm-hmm. And this is giving me a lot of those vibes with Paloma's six person women's alliance with the core group and then the six person, Mamba alliance. And I'm also noticing a lot of the same microaggressions as BB22. And there was a slur that was used on feeds the first night, from Turner. And I just, especially with the lack of casting, I'm like just feeling very nervous about the season. And okay. I know it's week one, but I'm nervous.
Well, let's take that in two parts. Cause I do think that there definitely is like connective tissue, but I feel like in terms of like the Big Brother 22 of it all specifically, I think that what was going on there was it was All Stars. Maybe people had talked before they had gotten into the house. Sure. That you had Cody who came in running the Derek playbook and was very disciplined and it was very orderly. And I don't think that that's what's happening here in this house. Mm-hmm.
I actually do think it is. I think that what was happening in 22 was what we expected was that they'd come in swinging. They'd played before. But what we saw was people who were very nervous to open up and start talking game. When they finally did, it was like very tentative. Mm-hmm. We had a very similar situation with Cody where he was thinking about putting Danny on the block. It was thinking about like Danny not being somebody that he would work with. But Danny was the first person to come up and talk to him. And he was so grateful that she did that. Same way that Amira came up to talk to Daniel here. And then we did slowly see things start to form. But similar criticisms of Cody's initial HOH were, he's putting two people up and he still hasn't completely locked anything in yet. He's made some, you know, relationships, but he hasn't really figured out who his people are. And that did come later. And that's one of the reasons why I'm still holding off on like fully criticizing Daniel, because he does still have a lot of time, just like Cody did. But I do see definitely a similar reluctance to really dive into to the game and game talk. I think one of the differences here, though, is that this, you know, Paloma running around and like creating mm-hmm. all these alliances is almost like if, you know, Nicole A was like running around making a whole alliance structure while Cody was HOH, right? So mm-hmm. we have that sort of like separate element going on, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking a lot about the sort of like early initial structures, and Michael's game was really reminding me a lot of Nicole Anthony. She was a have-not the first week. She was sick the first two nights, and she basically couldn't talk to anyone. I remember that was mm-hmm. one of the reasons why she was so behind early on, was she was like the slop made her really sick and she just couldn't do a lot the first couple days. And a lot happened while she was completely out of the picture. And then she slowly found a couple people like a Paloma who were on the outsides. The Paloma is very Janelle-esque in the sense of like people who know they need to build an alliance structure, but don't have the power and are trying to build it without the power in mind. And I think there's just a lot of interesting parallels between the two seasons. And I'm curious to see from the strategic side to follow that further.
Yeah. But to go back to your other point that you made earlier about different things going on in the house, and I think that that every house like sort of like has a sort of like a vibe in its own culture, and I do think it's very concerning when things that are happening like these different microaggressions and they kind of go unchecked. And then it's sort of like, oh, okay, that's cool. That's cool. That's cool here. And then I think then the next person sort of like pushes the envelope. And then, when that stuff goes unchecked, I think it then will like continue to like escalate to, potentially worse and worse things happening in the house. So I think that that is something that is definitely worth keeping an eye on here.
One thing I have a question about is, what should production be doing? Is production have a role in stopping some of this? And should they? I know they typically like to be very hands-off. I know there was the whole Ian controversy where they clearly said something about Ian and mm-hmm. Ian, and then that changed the dynamic for at least a little bit. But like, should production at this point be stepping in? Because I feel like the worst case scenario is that this gets worse and the season goes from rough and unfun to toxic and quickly tanking to a bottom ranked season.
Yeah, I mean, in Big Brother 21, production definitely stepped in a couple of times and talked to the Jags.
As much as they should have.
That was so they definitely are willing to do it. Are they willing to do it more? Is the question. Also, especially like if a house guest lodges a complaint, I think that takes it to a whole different level of like how much that they would get involved.
But like, I'm sure Taylor, if she knew, would be lodging all sorts of complaints right now about the things that he said, some of these microaggressions, but she doesn't know. Yeah. And one of the problems is if you're waiting for someone to find out that people are being racist or like are having all sorts of biases against them, like then it takes too long.
So I believe they started doing this in season 22. They talked about how preseason they got like HR training essentially prior to the season. Clearly it didn't work very well, but maybe things would have been worse without it. I think they also did it last season. I think I remember them talking about it. I haven't heard these players talk about it. So I don't know if they've continued to do it. Clearly whatever they were doing wasn't good enough. Because let's face it, if Big Brother production is in charge of telling people how to not be problematic, they're not going to be very successful. I think the best way to go about this, first of all, is to just like be obviously more scrutinized more in casting to begin with, but then also have like a legitimate intensive training of okay, you're going to be put in a situation where you are going to be interacting with a whole bunch of different kinds of people, maybe people you haven't interacted with before. So let's give you some information to help you learn like how to deal with these situations, what you should and shouldn't do. Is that a perfect solution? Mm-hmm. No, but hopefully it would help the situation a little bit.
It started much earlier than the week before they go in the house.
And maybe also like check out we should like look at their Facebook and stuff.
A quick Google search could help as well.
Even like Pooch, just some stuff came out about Pooch from like, I know it's like 10 years ago and we can argue how much we should pay attention to stuff from 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. But like, it's just so weird that like, they want to cast four white men. It's like, it's become very clear. They've done this now two seasons where they've casted four white men and four BIPOC men. And if they want to cast four white men, why are these the three, why is Pooch, Kyle, and Turner three of the four white men you were choosing to cast on the show? And I think we had a little bit of the same thing with us, especially like Brent and Travis and Christian, where actually I liked Christian towards the middle of the game. Mm-hmm. But like, why are these the three white men when you have 10,000 applicants? Like, why is this what you're narrowing it down to? Is it like, it's just a little worrying. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely the case. I would imagine from their perspective, they're like, well, obviously we need like the Southern guy, right? But it's like,
yeah, but there's like tons of Southern guys out there who won't.
Right. Like, I'm sure there are plenty. Oh. Yeah. We lost.
Sorry. No, that was my fault.
I'm sure there are plenty of people. I think the fact of the matter is they have a mandate. They have a quota to fill, and beyond that, as long as things don't get too bad, they don't care that much. Mm-hmm.
And then my last question is, I love BB Can now. I think I've been rewatching all the BB Can seasons. I just finished 3 and I've started 4 right before BB 24 started. And I was watching some of the early RHEP coverage from BB Can 4. And Taryn, you were so young back then. But
it was a long time ago also.
Yeah, it was. But it's like so uncanny to see him like 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Or he's 8. But I love BB Can. BB Can 10 was incredible. BB Can 9 was also very good. I think we'll look back on whatever this new era of BB Can so fondly. I'm really excited for BB Can 11 too. I'm so happy it was renewed. It was a little nervous because some of the ratings, and I'm just thrilled. But I feel like BB US isn't taking any notes. Yeah. From BB Can, with the exception, maybe I'm going to hold off on the comp revamp they've announced.
They don't take any notes from Big Brother Canada. I don't believe. Let's not like overlook. Like they did make a lot of improvement from Big Brother 22 to Big Brother 23. The question is that instead of building off of that, I think it's a fair question to ask. Did they backslide into Big Brother 24?
Well, yeah, and also how much of the success of BB 23 is because Tiffany and like was so incredible at bringing people in, and like if you remove like if like we had Tiffany in the house right now, I really think this would feel very different. So like I wonder some of that too.
Yeah, there's not a player. I don't want to speak for everybody, but I don't think there is a strategist that has captured the hearts and minds of the Big Brother faithful yet.
Yeah,
not yet. But I don't think there was one day 3 last year either. I don't think we were on to Tiffany yet.
Incredible from night 1 though. Like you,
she was definitely incredible, but I don't think we really knew she was like gonna dominate the season until toward the end of the week.
And are you looking forward to the HOH playing veto again?
Oh boy,
because that's going to happen tomorrow, and that's I'm looking true, forward to Daniel winning and being like, well, I guess I'm not changing noms and beginning the like slow. The rest of the week being like slow feeds, so it'll be
okay.
We'll see. Right. We'll see if the women can convince him to.
All right, Nathan. Thank you so much. Okay. All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay. Let's say hello to Zach. Is here, Zach? Hey, Zach. How are you?
I'm great. I'm coming to you live from my work office.
Nice. So
how are you guys doing?
Very good. Where in the world are you, Zach?
I am in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Same place as Brittany Haynes. So,
okay.
Not the same place, but same state. You know what I mean?
All right. Zach, what's going on? What do you want to talk about?
Well, I want to talk about the backstage boss twist.
Yes.
So, on the podcast that I co-host, we've been talking about it a little bit about. My theory is what's going to happen is, you know, America's going to vote to save someone. And what I think is going to happen is it's going to be a sort of small safety chain, such as the person who America saves gets to pick one other person who can be saved. And then the third person that's left is going to be a third nominee. I was wondering, Taryn and Rob, what do you guys think will happen?
I think that's definitely possible. I think that there could be some kind of competition involved. That's what they've speculated as well, where maybe it's like one of them is safe and then the other two compete to be a third nominee, or maybe it's not a third nominee. Maybe it's like one of you will have to compete against the person that gets voted out to see who stays. Who knows? I definitely think what you're saying is possible. I think that You know, I think that the fun of the safety chain is that it like runs through everybody. So I don't know if it's as fun if it's just like one person passing to one other, but it's definitely possible.
So do we think that, okay, the three people are up for nomination, America's going to vote to save one of them hypothetically or hypnothetically. They save Brittany, okay? And so now Pooch is the backstage boss. Yep. Shouldn't he make the call?
Could be.
That's true. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
I mean, he's the boss of backstage.
Yeah,
that's true.
So I don't know. I feel like maybe might it go back to, but I'm just wondering, just like, I guess like if you're production, what would you rather have? I guess it's like the person that just won a fan vote. I think that maybe you want to like throw people a little bit more of a bone, but when do they care about the viewers?
Yeah, and plus I'm also thinking, is this just the first week?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this like sort of 3 or 4 weeks?
Yeah, first, well, yeah. It is interesting that really since Big Brother 17, since Big Brother 16, we've always had a Sunday night competition. From it was the Battle of the Block to, you know, the wild card comps and I forget what it was called, the whack whatever
wackadoodle.
Yeah, Big Brother 18.
It worked. Yeah. I spent a whole season getting people to not remember what that was called.
Yes, but we always have that competition on Sunday night in the first 4 weeks of the season. We don't have it this season. Taryn, do you think that it's a budgetary thing that they maybe cut comps out of the budget?
I would say don't count your chickens before they hatch. Maybe we'll get something introduced to us for the next proper week where there isn't.
Yeah, because they didn't do a Thursday night episode. I don't remember last year if they did Wednesday and Thursday night episodes or if they did the same sort of format.
I think they did, but I'm not 100% sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so last season they did have the whatever it was, the competition first, but I do think that I think it's because I think I remember Julie saying in one of the preseason interviews that there was going to be some kind of twist that lasted a few weeks.
Okay.
So that could be the backstage situation, and maybe that becomes a competition at some point. So that would take place before noms, and then you'd see who's backstage this week. And
we are going to have festivals every single week, is part of it. Yeah. And so, you know, anytime you can get backstage at a festival, that's always a big deal.
Well, they're fest. Remember, you got to keep the hashtag short.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So we'll see, Zach. I think that probably we'll see something along the way.
Yeah, and plus, another question. Do either of y'all expect a battle back of some sort this year? Whenever I saw they weren't wearing masks on the stage this year, I mean, obviously they're still doing testing beforehand. Hypothetically, if they quarantine them correctly, they might be able to do it again. I know they're big on battle backs and stuff, but what do y'all think?
Yeah, I mean, hypothetically, but... I mean, and not to say that they're always rational, but like if it's just not worth any kind of risk like that in my eyes. I would guess that until we see a live audience back, we will probably also not see a buyback.
Yeah, I also think that they've already announced the finale date. I feel like that the battle backs were part of like the 90 some odd day season. And I guess you could always do double evictions to try to make it all work out. But I think that we are probably not going to see a battle back this season.
I mean, I am calling it. I think they took one break with no triple. Maybe they'll have a triple again this year.
Oh, boy.
It's definitely possible.
Okay. All right, Zach, you got a lot of hot takes.
Got a lot of theories.
Big Brother hot takeoff.
BB Bellhop power, I'm calling it. That's going to be a power this season.
What does the BB Bellhop do?
Well, I just, what that's going to do is it gives the power to throw anyone's bags out the door and then they leave.
Wow.
Oh boy.
Worst bellhop ever.
I know. I mean, but It sounds like something they would name a power, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, the BB bellhop. Yeah. Has U.S. Big Brother ever done the BB Hotel? Canada did it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Grand Hotel.
The Grand. Yes, that's right. That's right.
BB Can 4.
Okay. So, all right. Zach, all right. Great call, okay?
All right. Thanks, all right, you guys.
Care. All right. Bye. All right. Let's say hello to Melissa. Okay. Not it's Melissa. Okay. Melissa with 1A. Okay. All right.
Hi, Rob.
Hi, Melissa. Hi, what's going on?
Hey.
Nothing, you know, just got off work early today, so I figured I'd jump on because I don't get a chance to, so.
Yeah, what's new?
Nothing, you know, just another Big Brother season is here.
It's here.
It's here, it's happening. My question was really about, like, this preseason we had was very strange to me from the get-go about how short it was and how, like, nothing like Big Brother was like it's coming, and to me it feels like a lot of things were happening behind the scenes that, like, CBS casting wise maybe, and you mentioned it in the preview cast, Rob, that, like, maybe Big Brother was scrambling on the backside.
Did it feel a little, like, thrown together? Right,
it feels thrown together. Do you feel like, I know this is like the second season with a new casting director, right? Because Robin Cass, like, left.
Yeah, but so Jesse, I believe he does all the shows, and I feel like that Survivor casting has been, you know, so on point. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it just felt very weird that even we didn't get a house, like, preview, like, a week before, that it was all, like, very, like, down to the wire last minute. Like, does it feel off, like, the beginning of the season, even with the live move-in, that it just, like, what, with the dead air, do you feel like that affected the kickoff to the season with everything coming so, like, down to the wire? Like, how do you guys feel about all this information coming to us at last second?
I mean, it was definitely like a bit of a tidal wave, right? Like, just like crashing over. But you know, once you get into the flow of things, I think it all feels normal. I mean, you know, the preseason, I feel like the preseason is something that's pretty unique to shows like this, and one that I think a lot of shows try to take advantage of because it's a big, like, social media presence. Maybe Big Brother at this point feels like, look, we already have, like, probably one of the biggest, like, social, like, consistent social media presences of any show. Because any other show, it's like once a week there's a big spike, or like when the show's dropped, it's a big spike. Big Brother's all the time. And so maybe they just felt like, you know what, we don't really need to create any edit. We don't, like, we'll give them interviews because that's what we've always done, and they'll complain if we don't. But, like, honestly, at this point, who cares? It's been 20 seasons. 23 seasons, 4 seasons.
Yeah, I feel like at this point, CBS is like, this is a staple. It's here. It's not really going anywhere unless something happens with the lot. But it just felt like very strange to me as a fan. Maybe I'm so used to a long preseason, like a longer preseason that
Well, I think that probably, you know, back in the day, there would be, like, a lot of, like, media coverage, and, like, people would be like, oh, meet the new cast of Big Brother. Like, oh, and it would be sort of, like, newsy, and people would want to tune in to see these people. But I kind of feel like that it is news that, like, the people that are already going to watch are waiting for, and the people who aren't already going to watch are not going to care. So in terms of, like, what's the incentive for them to really go crazy with, like, they've got you already, you know? I don't think that they, you know, might have gained, other than the friends and family of the people that are on the show, I don't think they get, you know, 50 new viewers by, you know, putting the cast out a week early.
Do you feel like this is the way that they're going to go in the future of, like, hey, we're going to just give you the cast the day before and then...
Well, you know, with the 4th of July, I think that complicated it. You know, also, so, like, if they moved in, like, you know, June 27th, I think they would probably release the cast early. But I think they probably said, you know, we didn't lose anything by not putting it out early.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. But I think that this season is off to a decent start. Like, I haven't watched too much of the feeds. Mm-hmm. Of course, listening to Taryn already on my morning walks and commutes and wherever I am. So I'm just getting into this season, going to enjoy the ride. It's Big Brother. This is what we're here for. Even though I'm here for the strategy, I'm just here for whatever is going to come.
Wherever
with the
it
Big
goes.
Brother
that's,
season,
that's the way to do it in Big Brother season. Wherever it takes you.
Wherever the Big Brother Julie Chen takes me.
That's right.
I just found her social media like videos were so weird. Like did you guys see like the post that they did with like that weird animation of Julie? Like it was so strange.
Like
all
a TikTok filter from like, 8 months ago. Yeah.
It was just very weird of all the Julie content, but this is
they had nothing else. They had nothing else. Let's go all in on JCM.
But I'm interested to see this zing fest that Julie.
If we get there, if it ever happens,
if we get there.
Yes,
it's all here, and I'm excited to hear all the coverage this summer as usual.
All right, Melissa. Always nice to hear from you.
Always good to see you, Rob.
All right, take care. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Let's go to Art. Here comes Art. Art, how are you?
Doing all right, Rob. How about you?
Very good, Art. What's going on?
Nothing much. Thought I'd wear my
Yeah, were you taunting me, Art?
I am, Rob.
Okay. Yeah. Art, you're breaking up. Okay. Oh, so sorry. Okay. All right. Yes, what's going on?
Nothing much. I did want to diving into the Big Brother season, wanted to ask a question to see some of these people seem to be kind of outcasts no matter what they do, like like Taylor or Michael or Terrence. And I just want to hear your thoughts on what can they do at this point to kind of turn it around. I know it's only week one, it's only a couple days in, but what would you guys do in this situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the key is to not panic and just work the relationships that you have built. Most people have at least one or two relationships that they've developed at this point. So like Taylor, she has a relationship with Nicole. Nicole likes Taylor. Nicole is sticking up for Taylor in conversations with Daniel. And that's valuable to her. But Nicole is also saying like, it's hard to talk game with Taylor. I feel like she's not really I try to engage in game with her and she's not really talking game with me. So, and that's usually like a big thing, right? So if you are in this spot, you need to be talking as much game as possible with the connections that you do have. And then try to spread as much as you can. You don't have the advantage of like just being able to naturally talk game and communicate with everybody that you see, because you probably only have a couple of people, but based on those connections that you do have, you're able to sort of be like, okay, if I'm close with Nicole, who are you tight with? And Nicole's maybe going to say, oh, well, I do have a good relationship with Daniel. Okay, perfect. I would love to get in with Daniel too. Can you sort of like vouch for me or like get me in with Daniel? Now Taylor's talking to Daniel and can develop a connection there, right? And it's via somebody that he likes, Nicole. And now she's made another connection. Great. Now you're with Daniel. You're talking game with Daniel. Who are you tight with, Daniel? You kind of have to like go bit by bit like that. I think that's the best way forward. So like that's a legitimate path that Taylor could take if she was more proactive.
But does she know she's on the outs?
If you know the game, right? If you're listening to this podcast,
yes,
and you're in the house day three, you haven't talked like a lick of game with anybody, you're on the outs.
Mm-hmm.
Just that's it.
Okay, so Michael, who's a superman, does he realize to the extent that he's on the outs?
I think he's worried about it, and I think he's maybe a little bit in denial about it. I think he recognizes that things could be wrong, but he's hopeful that they're not.
Mm-hmm. Well, can I just give like my own personal experience from Survivor and Survivor All-Stars mm-hmm. when I was voted out, like I think very much was in denial of like, you know, people were not talking, and I had played a season already before, and I was just like, people aren't talking a lot to me about the game, but they're not voting me out.
Yeah.
Like, it's me. Come on. not everybody loves me, but like, you know, Rob likes me, Tom likes me, Sue, like, people like me.
Yeah, it's. I feel like that is a very common trap that people fall into.
I don't want to be weird about it. I don't want to
exactly.
Like, you know, make everybody feel like I'm paranoid.
Yeah, like I don't want to like make a thing of this if it's not a thing, mm-hmm. right? And that's why I think like you have to be doing work. Obviously, you don't want to like scramble and like run around. But definitely just like, again, with the people that you feel like you can trust, if you do have those people, try to plant the seeds, try to expand your network as much as possible.
Yeah.
Michael is in a spot the most where he's in a little bit of trouble because he doesn't really have anybody that's tight with him at all. But even so, like day two, Michael had Brittany reach out to him. He had Alyssa reach out to him. And now in day three, he's having Paloma reach out to him, offering him an alliance. He should be jumping. He should not be even to the cameras saying, no, thank you. He should be like, yes, that a 6-person alliance. I'm being asked to be in a 6-person alliance. Yes. Are you kidding me? This is incredible. And he should be talking to every single one of those people and being like, I'm in with you guys. What kind of info do you have? Like, give it all to me so that he can start playing the game, right? And then you have Terrence, who is, he's very well liked. The only issue is that people don't really see him as alliance material. So he kind of needs to press that issue, I think. When he's having a good conversation with somebody, introduce the idea of working with them. We saw Tiffany as the quote unquote older player. Now, obviously she really just like fit in really well, which helped mm-hmm. a lot, but she was also she played very hard. And that helped her integrate strategically as well as socially. So that's what I think Terrence should be doing with Indy. I think similar to sort of where Taylor is, just like, she just needs to start talking more game. She needs to start connecting more with, she does have some strategic connections. She needs to utilize those a little more effectively. And I think she could advance her position as well.
Okay. What do you think of that, Art?
I think that's pretty good. Kind of what, I mean, I think I was even saying the other day, it's really hard to know, to be the right amount of paranoid when you've never experienced it before. I think you always reflect back on that, Rob, when I've heard you talk about it.
Yeah.
I'm very sorry I got you to talk about All Stars.
That's okay. That's okay. I mean, you already brought up the Atlanta Braves winning the World Series. What's your hat?
Oh, the hat is just this, the hat from the championship as well.
Your hat and the shirt?
Double down.
Okay. The hat and the shirt, yeah.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Art.
That's another bit of advice is don't taunt the HOH.
Oh, no, I would never taunt the HOH. You know, as Bloomberg would tell you.
Is that one of his rules for Big Brother?
One of his rules. I mean, politics is usually that don't bring up politics. Don't bring up the HOH's least favorite baseball team. That's
yes. Okay. All right. By the way, you can hear David Bloomberg starting next week with Ovi talking about why blank lost Big Brother.
Yes, yes. I already started the HOH. With his preview with Ovi. So very excited about that.
Yes. Okay. Art, it was fine to talk to you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But you had a good question. Okay. Art, yeah. Take care.
Yep.
Bye. Okay. All right. And then Baby Andy is here. Okay, maybe the last call. Baby Andy, our friend.
Hey.
What's up, guys?
Baby How's Andy, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Okay. Beginning of Big Brother season.
Yes.
Not quite as good of a start as last year, but hey, we're here.
Yeah. It's been mid so far, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, just I do feel like to a previous caller's point, the cast just feels like backwards momentum. I feel like the Big Brother 23 cast, it just seemed like fresher archetypes were being introduced. And then this reminds me of like my first Big Brother live feuds experience, which was BB21. I'm getting a little bit of that. But yeah. It's like day three.
Super yeah. Early, so you never want to hear it's giving BB21.
No. Unless it's Ovi or Kemi.
Yes. Those two. Okay.
Yeah.
Baby Andy, what's happening?
Yeah. So I was watching feeds today. It seems like Daniel's going for as easy of an HOH as possible, which, you know, we've seen that a lot. But he was someone who's saying in the preseason, you know, I don't want to work with the jocks, whatever. But he's HOH now. And the jocks always have such a good pitch. If they link up, they just go to Daniel and be like, hey, you know, don't put us up. We got your back, right? And it's so attractive to someone starting the game in HOH. They don't want, you know, blood in their hands, et cetera, et cetera. But like, what's it going to take to get two big competitors on the block early? I just feel like that's to the benefit a lot of different types of players. But if you're in the house, like Amirit tried it, I feel like a little bit too late to convince him. But you know, if you're not a muscular guy and you want those shots taken early, what can you do to combat that tendency where, you know, people don't want to go too hard, too fast on that front?
I think you need to provide the HOH with the security that they need to make a move like that. And it also, like, so we saw Amira get to Daniel first and encourage him to take a shot at one of the big guys. And having been the only person to talk to him so far, it was kind of working. He was definitely considering it. But then she didn't really talk to him again until just now. So that's like a full 24 plus hours that she wasn't talking to him about it, reinforcing it. In that time, the bros got to him and kind of talked him off that ledge. And they're all kind of, you know, working together enough that they are able to approach him with a cohesive kind of narrative. So I think if you really want something like that to happen, you really need to identify the weak links. That's why I think Joseph was a decent pick for a big target, because he's the least connected of the bros, and he's not as active in the game. So I think that the pieces are there for this kind of move to happen in this season. In that you have Paloma, who has kind of swiped Monty and Kyle away from the other bros. So now they're not really like, they're still giving that line. Like Monty's still telling Daniel, like, oh yeah, don't go after the bros, but he wouldn't actually care that much if he did go after the bros. So if you're able to sort of like separate them, divide and conquer, then they don't have as much power, and you can like, basically, I mean, that's how you get any target out, right? Like normally it's very easy. They're already isolated. They're an outcast. They're a nerd, whatever. If you have a lot of social power and you can just be like, yeah, we're not including this person or these two people in our group. They don't have a lot of social support. Let's also approach the HOH. They're in our group. These are two people that are strong that are not in our group, and they don't have a lot of backing. I think they'd feel a lot more comfortable taking that shot.
Yeah. It does make sense. But it just feels like at an emotional level, no matter what type of player gets in the first HOH, they either are a cool kid, which we see they win first HOH a lot, and it's super easy. Everyone gravitates towards them, or they just get scared. You know, they're like, oh, I've said I want to be a player, takes big shots, but it just feels like too early. It's always too early to get rid of these, you know, physical competitors. And I think you pointed this out. That's kind of a fallacy. It's just going to get harder, right? So it just does feel like it's too scary in at least modern Big Brother in the U.S. to do those things, which is a shame, because when it's two big guys on the block, it's always a great week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then my only other question is there's the backstage twist. I have no faith in CBS to like, or production to have like a good twist, but this one feels like kind of useless to me. Oh, you know, they cut out the amount of people voting, which is actually kind of cool. But it's like, if let's say at the end of the on eviction night, they throw up one of those backstage people as a third nominee, they're definitely not going to get voted out, right? It just feels like
pretty unlikely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, I guess what's the point? It shakes things up in week one. They always want that, but I don't feel like the backstage people are in any true danger unless there is a format element to it that we don't know.
The only thing that I don't really understand the economics of, Taryn, is there a benefit for them to get people voting? Like, are they getting like 99 cents a text message? Like, is this like a money grab? It seems like that they want people voting. Do they feel like that, are people more invested in the show if they voted on in the first week?
I think that's it. I think that getting people to vote is cheap way, a shortcut to getting people invested. Mm-hmm. And you see that immediately. Like the second the voting was announced, Twitter is aflame for campaigns. You don't even know these people, mm-hmm. but they're already like, do this, do that. You get put into different camps. I'm in the Britney camp. I'm in the Alyssa camp. Yeah. And people start fighting and they feel like they have a personal investment and anybody that doesn't vote with them is now on the other team and they're attacking you. And just like that, people are way more invested than if it wasn't up to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think their mistake on that front is that their votes are never that precise in terms of aligning with fan sentiment because it's such a limited pool of people you can vote for. But imagine if we could vote to give Taylor something, I think the internet would be on fire right now. So, but you know, mm-hmm. I don't want any twists, but I think it's too early for America's vote, but whatever.
Yeah. All right, baby Andy, thank you so much. Okay.
All right, definitely talk to you soon.
All right, talk to you soon. Okay, bye. All right, Taryn, that's a BB Q&A week one in the books.
We did it.
We did it. That was fun.
Yeah.
Happy to be back.
Yes. You know, still like not a whole lot to talk about yet, but
yeah.
Definitely some interesting positions with these house guests.
Frenchie we'll see what spoiled the us. Frenchie spoiled us, but then he also did. Ruined future week ones.
He did, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we'll see. The Daniel still has time.
Yeah. But that's what he came in to do, right? He came in and he said, dadgummit, I'm tired of these crazy week ones. I'm going to have the craziest week one so nobody else ever has a crazy week one.
Yep. He peaked it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So let's just talk about the schedule for the weekend. Okay. Tomorrow morning, Taryn will be back 11 a.m. Eastern for another live feed update. Of course, maybe Friday night might get crazy in the Big Brother house. Find out on Saturday and then another live feed update on Sunday. We'll find out what happens with the veto. So find out tomorrow morning what happened with the noms. Find out Sunday morning what happened with the veto, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. And then we will be back together Sunday night for a recap of the second episode of the season.
Yeah.
Okay. Exciting. Plus, don't forget to check out all of our Challenge USA coverage. Allie and Brian's recap is up. Our exit interview with the first team out is up as well. Taryn, what's coming up for you the rest of the weekend?
Not much. Just find me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. We'll be playing some Goose Duck on Sunday.
Okay.
Have some fun.
Thank you so much for checking out this edition of the BBQ&A. I'll be back with the slop as well on Monday night to talk about all of the nonsense that we dug up for BB24 as well. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.